Our Father, we thank you that you have promised peace to us, and your promises are always true. You always keep them. And so we thank you. Help us as we meditate now upon your promises declared through your prophet Micah. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What things are you worried about right now? What do you wish would happen to alleviate all of those worries that you have right now? What is going through your mind? What are you dreaming about as you're driving down the road and wondering, like, if only this were in place? In the Old Testament lesson today, Micah proclaims a beloved vision and a prophecy of peace. We love these words when we hear them. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit, every man, under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid again. Everyone wants peace. Now, Micah paints this beautiful vision. I personally would prefer a coconut tree and Costa Rica. But still, you get the point. Beautiful vision that we all want, every single person. Have you ever met a person who said, you know what I would like? Less peace in the world and less peace in my life. Nobody wants that. Every single one of us wants peace. We want this vision that Micah offers. We want people to have sufficient food and shelter, and joy, and peace. So since we all want this, why don't we have it? Everybody wants it. Why don't we have it? Why haven't we all already beat all of our swords and spears and atomic bombs and everything else like that into something useful? Why do we just keep waging new wars and depriving others of their needs and rebelling against the good law of God, and looking to so many other things to give us the desires of our hearts instead of our God? The book and the prophet Micah give us real answers to these questions. Micah declares, just a few verses before our section today, in chapter 3, verse 8, he says, I am filled with strength, with the Spirit of God, and with justice and power to declare how Israel has rebelled. So throughout this short book, just seven chapters, you can read it very quickly, Micah points out all these ways that Israel has broken her covenant with God. And we could list them out. But all of those ways can be summed up into just two terrible ways. And it's always the same terrible two ways. They did not love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. And they did not love their neighbors as themselves. So Micah declares this truth. Israel, God's covenant people, have rebelled horribly. Yet, despite this rebellion, that only God can and must both stop and punish. Micah cannot seem to stop adding in these beautiful scenes, like we see here at the beginning of chapter 4, of hope and peace and redemption. Why not? He's called to declare how Israel had rebelled. So why does he keep speaking of peace? Micah cannot stop declaring the beautiful scenes of hope and peace and redemption, because as he includes the whole book, the whole letter, and the very last few verses of the book, chapter 7, verse 18, he starts with this question, who is like you, O God? Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Who is a God like our God? And so Micah knows, and we know, that we still live in a fallen world. We still live in a world where all peoples walk, each in the name of its God, just as Micah says in verse 5. And those gods are not like our God, the true and good God, the one who cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. The ways of those other gods are not worth learning, and their paths are not worth walking in. They are gods who would take away all of our peace and our hope. Yet, even we who walk in the name of the one true and good God, the great I Am, we still know how often our hearts are prone to wander. We know it so well, we wrote a song about it that we really like, and we keep singing it because it's so good and true. In so many ways, we want peace, but instead, we wage war. Not even the pacifist, our Amish friends, not even they can get away from this. Why not? Because of the weakness of our flesh. Even those of us who seek to walk in the name of the Lord, we know how great that weakness is. Let me give you just one example from a book that I've been reading that just stands out so much to me. And the book is called Difficult Conversations. And the fact that there has to be a book called Difficult Conversations to help you have difficult conversations shows you just how weak our flesh is. The authors of this book say, "Our invented stories about other people's intentions are accurate much less often than we think." Why? Because people's intentions, like so much else in difficult conversations, are complex. Sometimes people act with mixed intentions. Sometimes they act with no intention, or at least none related to us. And sometimes they act on good intentions, but nonetheless hurt us. We can't even understand or judge rightly our own or each other's intentions well enough to not hurt each other. No wonder we wage wars. Whether on the physical battlefield or in our hearts or in our relationship with those we care deeply about around us. John reminds us in the passage from 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So how can Micah resolve this tension between our desire for peace and our terrible propensity towards rebellion? How can he declare the right judgment on God's covenant people and at the same time declare such moving promises of how things are going to be in the days to come? We have to go just a little beyond the passage today to chapter 5, verse 2, and we see how this comes about. Micah says, "But you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." And then Micah goes on to explain who this ruler is. And he says, this ruler that is coming for God's people, to rule God's people rightly and justly, who knows every intention of every heart, he says, that ruler, he shall be their peace. He shall be their peace. That ruler, Micah prophesied, would have to take on the deserved punishment of rebels like you and me in order not only to provide the promise peace of God that Micah declares, but also to be our peace. And he shall be their peace. That ruler is the same one who in the gospel reading today declared this, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets like Micah and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And he shall be our peace. Jesus is our peace. just as Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father upon those first disciples and upon all who have believed in him ever since them, he also promises to send down the new Jerusalem to us, the new mountain of the house of the Lord, as Micah calls it. In that day to come, our longing for the day when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. It will finally be realized. We'll finally see it. It is going to happen because God has promised. And on that day, we will sing to our Lord with utter confidence. Who is like you, O God? So what should we do in the meantime, as we await this glorious day that is coming, that is promised to us? In the meantime, we keep walking in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Because of our justification through Jesus taking on of our sins, and because of the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, sometimes we actually get it right, and we are agents of peace, and we are agents of God's kingdom on earth now. The famous second century apologist Justin Martyr attempted to explain how he was seeing this, explain it to the Roman rulers of his time, ones who were at times persecuting severely Christians. And so he wrote, "Now we who once killed each other, not only do not make war on each other, but in order not to lie or deceive our inquisitors, we gladly die for the confession of Christ. So it would be ridiculous if the soldiers whom you have recruited and enrolled remain loyal to you. For you, O rulers of Rome, have nothing incorruptible to offer those who desire incorruption." You have nothing to offer. You have no peace. "Rather, we endure all things in order to receive what we long for from him who is able to give it, from him who is able to both give us peace and who is our peace." This is why we keep walking in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And we keep proclaiming this good news and peace that is found in Jesus to all those people who walk in the name of false gods. If anyone here does not know Jesus, our peace, I invite you, along with the prophet of Micah, to come. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Because his paths are the way of true and everlasting peace. As we wait for that day, when all rebellion is finally removed from our world and from our hearts, and every tear is wiped away from our eyes, we remember the comfortable word from 1 John 2:1-2. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation, the atonement for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. With these unshakable promises and assurances from our good God, we confidently walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Amen.